So I'm going to call our Board of Commissioner of Public Lands meeting to order on this August 2nd of 2022. And the first item on the agenda is approving the minutes. I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye, Josh.
Right. I say the minutes are approved. Moving down to the loan portfolio, we are looking at 5 loans at a little over $1.7 million. I move to approve the loans.
I so move, Judge.
Right. It's been moved and seconded. Rich, do you mind highlighting today's loan portfolio?
Sure, Sarah. You know, there's a few loans that I'd like to mention shortly. You know, loan number one is a loan to a school district, and that is really becoming somewhat rare for the trust fund loan program because schools generally can borrow money less expensive in the open market because a lot of their debt is not taxable. But this is a smaller loan, and I think that the fees of going to the market had an impact on their decision in this case. And then loan number 4 is to the town of Sevastopol. They are doing some park work, which is actually the reconstruction of their tennis and pickleball courts. And then loan number 5 is a little bit unusual for us. The village lost an appeal of a tax assessment that went all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they are required to pay back the excess taxes they received over a period of several years. And that is what the loan proceeds will be used for. And that's all I have today. Are there any questions?
No, but it sounds like at least for the town of Slinger, it's good that we were there for them, Rich, because it seems like this was something unexpected.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any questions for Rich? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Great. The loans are approved and we have no old business. And so moving on to our quarterly investment report. So, Rich, you've got the floor.
Thanks, Sarah. You know, the board packet today includes 2 familiar quarterly reports for the Common School Fund, plus a new report and a graph that highlight the diversity and growth of income produced by our investments. Let me start out by saying that the first 6 months of this year were difficult for all investors. Inflation worries caused the Fed to increase short-term interest rates, which in turn fueled talks of a coming recession. During the first 6 months of 2022, U.S. markets had their worst performance since 1970. 1970 was also the year that the Beatles broke up. The first Earth Day was celebrated and I turned 10 years old. That was a long time ago. In 2022, stocks fell by over 20% by the end of June. Bonds also got hammered with the broad investment grade index dropping more than 10%, including any interest earned. The Common School Fund did not escape unscathed. Before the carnage began, we had developed a cushion of unrealized gains that had reached $123 million on December 31st. By the end of June, this cushion had slumped by nearly $100 million. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is. But this loss totaled less than 7% in the value of the Common School Fund and revealed a resilient portfolio that weathered the storm better than most. As you will see, our allocations to real estate and private equity offset losses to investments in the public stock and bond markets. And we were still sitting on over $25 million in unrealized gains at the end of June. As I've been harping on for the past few years, the ability of our portfolio to develop stable income streams through a range of difficult market conditions is the most important element of our progress. The Common School Fund distribution is the sole source of state funding dedicated to public school libraries. Our investment policy includes the mission statement that the BCPL is to manage the assets of the school trust funds in a manner that maintains significant, stable, and sustainable distributions to beneficiaries. Today, rather than wallow in the fact that asset prices have declined over the past 6 months, we can focus not only on the stability of our income stream and the fact that we didn't have to tap into the smoothing fund during the worst 6 month market since 1970, but we can celebrate growth in that distributable income as well. To better understand what I mean, let's move on to the portfolio report, which is on page 7 of the packet. The portfolio report shows the current market value, cost, yield, and projected income of the common school fund portfolio by asset class. As you can see in the gain loss column, we no longer have the luxury of claiming unrealized gains in every asset class. But investments in corporate bonds and preferred stocks took a pretty big hit over the last 6 months. But remember that we do not need to sell at these current prices, and these assets provide some of the strongest income streams within our portfolio. The final two columns in this table show the yield and projected income from each of the asset classes. The overall portfolio yield at cost of 4.3% is more than 0.5% higher than it was a year ago, and growth in that number remains the best indication that we are heading in the right direction. Are there any questions before we move on? Okay, then let's flip to the next page where I've provided the income projected for each asset class at the end of the prior three fiscal years. Please take a look down at the totals where projected annual income is now calculated to be almost $55 million, up $17 million from the projection just 2 years ago. Note that the average yield on common school fund assets has increased about 1% over the past 2 years. That is great news and the result of a lot of hard work. This increase of 45% in projected annual income is primarily the result of our ability to shift allocations from lower yielding assets, including cash, to higher yielding assets. This includes a major shift from public to private markets based on our belief that the private markets offer a higher risk-adjusted rate of return. This process has taken a lot longer than 2 years, as each incremental change makes just a small contribution to transforming the portfolio. In most cases, adding a single private fund takes months of work, including all of the analysis, due diligence, and negotiation that is required just to get to the starting point when funds can begin the process to get your money to work, which itself can take years in some cases. But that process is well worth the effort for a permanent fund like the Common School Fund. The transformation of our portfolio is not yet complete, but I think we're beginning to see results. However, income growth is not the element of this chart that makes me most proud of the work that we have done. The next page shows the percentage of total income contributed by each asset class over the past three fiscal years. This chart clearly shows the progress we have made in de-risking the annual distribution to our beneficiaries. The largest source of income is now 16% of the total, down from 38% at the end of fiscal year 22. The top two sources of income now contribute 30% of the total, down 9% from last year, and a full 28% from 2 years ago. This graph shows that a disruption in one or two of our major asset classes would now have a much lower impact on our beneficiaries than in past years. In addition, the risks of a major disruption in any single asset class have been reduced even further by diversification within that asset class. For example, our muni bond portfolio is comprised of 134 separate securities issued by communities of various credit ratings across the state of Wisconsin, and that mature over the next 17 years. Our real estate portfolio now holds ownership positions in hundreds of properties across the country, ranging from apartments in Dallas to light industrial buildings in Chicago to the Bellagio in Las Vegas, Boston office towers, and tech space in Silicon Valley. Our private debt portfolio is invested in the senior secured debt issued to hundreds of middle market companies competing in more industries than I can name. During the next fiscal year, we intend to add infrastructure funds to further diversify our portfolio. These infrastructure funds will add one more source of income that is uncorrelated with the returns of other assets. The one common element throughout our portfolio is the focus on developing stable income for our beneficiaries. We've also talked about the need to grow the principal of the fund at greater than the long-term rate of inflation. We believe that the portfolio we've put together can and will succeed in meeting both of those goals. But let's look even further into our past in order to provide a little perspective on that. If we look back 5 years, there would be only two asset classes visible on this chart: trust fund loans and state and muni bonds. If interest rates were to drop significantly, which they did on a few occasions over the past 10 years, many trust fund loans would be prepaid and many bonds would be redeemed. This new cash would need to be reinvested at new lower interest rates, which would reduce our distributions for many years. Diversification into other asset classes has allowed this risk to our distribution to go down significantly. We are no longer in a situation where future distributions will be decimated by a reduction in market interest rates. Jason Stevens, CEO and President of Thompson Investment Management here in Madison, and a consulting member of our investment committee, may have said it best. About a year ago, we were talking about developing a portfolio that provides resilient income during a worst-case market scenario. Jason said that for a portfolio designed to distribute income to beneficiaries, we had already been living in the worst case scenario of record low interest rates for much of the past decade. And we had come through that period with very good results. When putting together the BCPL investment policy that was initially approved in 2016, there was a major concern that we'd be adding risk to the common school fund portfolio. The theory was that adding more volatile assets, stocks versus bonds, for example, would increase the risk to beneficiaries. On face value, that makes a lot of sense. However, the common school fund portfolio benefits from the fact that the returns from different asset classes are not perfectly correlated. When uncorrelated asset classes are added to the portfolio, even if that asset has a high idiosyncratic risk profile, the risk to that portfolio as a whole can go down. Through the benefits of diversification, I can say with great confidence that we are in a much safer place today than at any time in the 174-year history of the Common School Fund. Are there any questions before we move ahead? Okay, let's move on to the asset
allocation. This is Doug. It's a silly question. Why are the state trust fund loans called private debt instead of public?
Because we don't trade them on public markets, we just keep them in our portfolio.
Okay. So it's private to us, and not that it's going to a private company. I got it. Thank you.
Correct. You got it, Doug. Let's move on to the asset allocation report on page 10, which shows how we are doing in regard to the target allocations that have been approved by the board. As you will recall, this report shows our current allocations and percentages, commitments made to the individual asset classes that have yet to be funded, potential allocations once those commitments have been called in by fund managers. I've also included a column down at the bottom that filters these commitments to those that are expected to be called. There are situations, especially in venture capital, where distributions from the fund are expected to begin prior to the end of the investment period when calls are made. That means that the net amount invested never quite reaches the full amount that we have committed to the fund. And those expectations are an important element in our planning process. These allocations and commitment levels are added together and compared to the target allocations on the right-hand side of the chart. Let's start at the top with state agency, and municipal bonds. Our current investment in this asset class is just under $100 million. Or 7.6% of the common school fund. This remains above the current target of 5%, but well within the range of 0 to 30%. Our taxable muni and state bonds contained hand-selected bonds issued by the state of Wisconsin and Wisconsin municipalities and school districts. In general, these bonds have excellent liquidity and virtually no default risk. These taxable bonds also demonstrate BCPL's continued interest in investing within the state of Wisconsin. Some of these bonds were acquired when market rates were lower than they are today and have coupon rates lower than new bonds that are available today. For example, I have a list of about $30 million in bonds that pay less than a 4% coupon. And these bonds are prime candidates for sale should we need to raise cash. Selling bonds with low coupons has the added benefit of improving the average yield on the remaining portfolio. The next asset class includes U.S. Treasury and agency bonds. The $94 million allocation was acquired over the past few months as market rates became more attractive. Many of these bonds have call dates within the next 3 to 6 months. And with market rates now easing off their highs, although they're back up big today, much of this allocation might get redeemed over the next year. We're hoping that much of this total stays in place for a long time, but if not, it's not really a bad thing to earn 4.5% to 5.5% on a safe short-term investment. While we do not have a target allocation specifically for agency bonds in our current model, we view the different fixed income sectors as somewhat interchangeable. Acquisitions are made within the sector viewed as providing the best return and structure for the portfolio at the time. Spreads had widened to a very attractive level on agency bonds during Q2, so excess cash was put to work there. Moving down, the Common School Fund currently invests in 3 separate corporate bond funds handpicked by the investment committee. At the end of Q2, we had about $150 million invested in corporate bond funds, which are generating an average yield of over 5%. You might remember that we sold a significant position, about $35 million, in corporate bonds at the beginning of 2022 to reduce our risk to the expected increase in interest rates. The remaining funds in our portfolio are primarily high-yield funds, which have been some of the hardest-hit bond sectors in 2022. Bonds issued by corporations with a lower credit quality are more likely to default on interest payments should we enter a recession. However, these funds are well diversified by holding thousands of different bond issues. Because of this diversification, the investment committee believes that the risk to the portfolio from individual corporate bond defaults is held to an acceptable level. And the yield at 5.1% compensates us for that extra risk when investment grade bonds in the market are currently averaging only about 3.25%. The 12% allocation to corporate bonds remains higher than the target allocation of 10%, but well within the target range of 0 to 30%. Corporate debt provides a viable alternative that generates income needed for our annual distribution. But in the long run, we expect investment in corporate bonds to move back towards the target as other opportunities become available. For example, private debt offers higher risk-adjusted returns than the publicly traded bonds we've been talking about. We currently have 4 investments in private debt funds, and they can be characterized by great diversity and excellent yields. In the past year, we have committed an additional $120 million to private debt funds, including a $50 million commitment recently approved by the investment committee that is expected to close within the next few weeks. We appreciate and value that the security backing up these investments varies from low-income housing in Wisconsin to a number of renewable energy projects, to fiber optic networks, and to first mortgage loans on real estate projects across the country. These funds are managed by best-in-class experts, and the investment committee has great expectations for the private debt asset class over the foreseeable future. One sector of the private debt market is our state trust fund loan program. Our portfolio of these loans has dropped over the past few years as total demand from local municipalities and school districts has fallen. However, the State Trust Fund Loan Program remains the bread and butter of our investment policy. The simplicity and flexibility of the program provide a good incentive for many borrowers to use the program, and the program remains active with the number of new loans averaging about 10 per month. Moving down the chart to equities and alternatives, both domestic and global public equities are above their target allocations, although both of these sectors remain well within their target range. The current allocation of public common stocks is slightly less than 10% when excluding both preferreds and shares held in the company BXSL. We've talked about for some time about moving the preferred stocks to their own allocation, and expect to make that recommendation to the board at an upcoming meeting. The Common School Fund is a major holder of BXSL, not having sold any shares since the company went public last October. BXSL share prices are currently depressed, probably due to current market conditions, along with the fact that newly unlocked shares have been hitting the open market since the IPO. Our current plan is to wait for those shares to recover prior to selling, and then possibly reinvesting the proceeds into the Blackstone sister fund, BCRED. BCRED is the private alternative to BXSL and is managed by the same team with the same strategy. The fund has performed extremely well to date, and the investment committee believes that moving to that private market alternative will reduce volatility within the portfolio. Our allocation to preferred stocks now totals about $83 million and generates an annual yield of 5.3%. As you know, preferred stocks provide a greater percentage of their total return through dividend income than common stocks, and can be thought of as a hybrid security, including elements of both fixed income and equities. Unfortunately, both fixed income and equities took a pounding over the last 6 months, and preferred stocks got hit from both sides. Preferred stocks now count for 6.4% of the portfolio, slightly above the level that staff will likely be recommending in the new allocation model. As discussed at the last board meeting, the investment committee is currently researching the potential benefits of moving our common stock investments to a separately managed account, and we will keep the board informed regarding progress in that area. Moving down the table to real estate, the Common School Fund was able to finalize commitments to several real estate funds over the past year. We're excited to reach our target allocation of 20% by investing with the best in the business, including BlackRock, Blackstone, Brookfield, Invesco, and Nuveen. We believe that our real estate investments will contribute an excellent and stable income stream, along with strong long-term capital gains that will benefit the Common School Fund for decades to come. Our target 5% allocation to infrastructure has remained unfilled, and the investment committee is currently researching several funds that look promising. Infrastructure investments remain a valuable goal due to stable cash flows and additional portfolio diversification. We expect to make commitments to this asset class over the next year with an eye to creating another source of income that is uncorrelated with current investments. Private equity and venture capital has grown to over 3% of the Common School Fund. The investment committee is pleased with our investments to date, and several of our managers will be opening up new funds for investment over the next year or two. The bear market hit small growth companies especially hard this year, which may extend the timelines for closing out our current venture capital funds. The thinking is that there is no reason to sell a good company now when market multiples are low. On the other hand, the current market creates opportunities for new investments by venture capital firms at lower prices. I guess I'm saying that it's better to be a buyer than a seller in venture capital today, and we are patient investors that are happy with our current management teams. To summarize, we'll be seeking opportunities to increase our investment in infrastructure over the next several quarters, and after years of hard work, we are finally getting close to our allocation targets. The fact is that we have weathered the storm over the past 6 months, and we will continue to distribute record amounts to our beneficiaries into the foreseeable future. I look forward to discussing some small recommended changes to the investment policy and target allocations at an upcoming board meeting. But today, I'm proud to report that the fund continues to perform quite well. By the way, while not part of this report, I'm happy to say that July was a very good month for the Common School Fund, as unrealized gains more than doubled to reach back up to $52 million. That is all I have for today, so thanks for your time. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Sarah.
I just also want to thank you, Rich, and the team, and I think the chart that you all shared shows how the strategy and diversification has really built a resilient fund, which we know is so important, as you can look at where the income is coming from and how much that has, you know, those categories have moved even within 3 years. So I think it does a good picture of showing what has been changed, updated, and built, and what we continue to work towards.
Yeah, it's nice to see a visual representation of that. because looking at numbers sometimes just doesn't have the same impact.
Exactly, exactly. So thanks for taking time to do that. Any questions from the commissioners?
Not for me. Thank you, Rich.
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks again, Rich, we appreciate it. The next item under new business is an easement. And so before I kind of get into the motion and moving forward, Tom, do you wanna walk us through what we're looking at with the kind of seems like a pretty simple transaction today?
I'd be happy to. This is a little bit of an unusual easement because for the first time since I've been here, BCPL would not receive any cash in exchange for the grant of the easement. It is for a fiber optic line that would cross BCPL property. There was actually a statute passed that provided that, in essence, the company would not have to pay anything for easements that crossed state land. And while in the past there had been carve outs for trust lands, there wasn't any carve out on this legislation. And while there's a part of me that grumbles a bit at that, the fact is it really doesn't hurt the value of our property. And in fact, our Lake Tomahawk office is going to be the beneficiary of some of this, these fiber optic lines that are crossing state property. For years, we've been plagued with very slow internet speeds, and now having a fiber optic line crossing our property will allow us within the next 6 months to actually have very fast internet on our property. So because of the fact that, first of all, there's a state statute that says that the company doesn't have to pay, and because of the fact that fiber optic is really providing a benefit to some of these parcels up north that haven't had fast internet, the staff is recommending that the agency go ahead and grant the easement in this situation, even though we would not be receiving any cash for it. Are there any questions?
I think I remember one of these years ago.
Doug, you have a longer memory of the agency than I do, so you could very well be correct.
Well, I move the approval of this lease.
So we're approving the fiber optic line easement with Frontier Communications as accordance to Chapter 24. So it's been moved and seconded. Any debate, any questions? It seems like a pretty big no-brainer in my mind, especially if BCPL staff is benefiting from these fiber optic lines. So that's great.
Yeah. And Sarah, did you second it?
I did. I just read the motion out loud when, cause it's an easement and wanted to make sure we had that on the record. So.
Got it.
All right. Seeing there's no questions, comments, debate. All those in favor of approving this fiber optic line easement, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Josh.
Great. Easement is approved. Moving on into routine business. Rich, you just gave us a fantastic report. I don't know if there's anything else to add.
Nothing today. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay. Tom, moving on to the executive secretary's report.
I would like to congratulate the staff again on the phenomenal performance of the Common School Fund. In a small agency with a limited staffing, a lot of people have to roll up their sleeves in order to get these accomplishments. You know, hats off to Rich for identifying those assets and recommending them and pushing us to make it happen. Denise, the amount of to account for all these things is utterly amazing. And the fact is, a lot of other staff people are involved in this stuff too. So hats off to all of them for making this happen. It truly is marvelous to see this. As Rich had talked about years ago, it wasn't this way. It wasn't that long ago. The fact is, in 2010, we had about 800 million in the common school fund, and 700 million of it was in trust fund loans. And as the as we hit the market correction there, and interest rates dropped drastically, we had $500 million of those loans prepaid. And by having a diversified portfolio now, does make it stronger, does make it more resilient. And like I said, it wasn't that long ago that we were facing some of these shock waves. With respect to other matters, I'm going to be heading up north tomorrow, and I'm going to be meeting with representatives from the Lac du Flambeau tribe regarding a potential sale of trust fund trust lands that lie adjacent to or within the boundaries of the reservation. Title on several of the parcels is undisputed, but there are a couple of parcels where title is disputed and have been disputed for a very, very, very long time. But we've had very good conversations, and I'm hopeful that we can actually reach a comprehensive agreement on these lands. And if that resolves a century-long dispute over title, I will be very happy. I will also be meeting with the folks in the Lake Tom office on Friday morning. And again, congratulations to Kevin and his staff for the record-breaking year last year on timber revenue. And right now they're working on preparing this year's timber sales. And they also have already put out a preliminary request for proposals for carbon credits, and they received some expressions of interest and some questions. And we're looking forward to receiving firm proposals in about a month from now. So we look forward to having even a better report to the board on that sometime in the next month. And that's my report for today.
Thanks, Tom. I do not have anything to report, so we'll just move to future agenda items. Anything people want to talk about for the next meeting?
Nothing for me.
Nope, I have nothing.
Okay, well, I move to adjourn.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded multiple times in unison. So all those in favor of adjourning today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Why not?
Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, everyone. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Good week, everyone.
Bye-bye.